If you will open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, with all that's happening in Israel concerning the what's happening over there in that part of the world, God has a lot to say about that. And as we look at what's going on, if we understand God's word, it can help us to understand what's happening there, and that we would be prepared for it as well as we'd have others to do so. There are many questions that people are asking. And the key to part of this understanding of what's going there is found in Daniel. And as God does on many occasions, he uses terms that are familiar to us, but yet not familiar. For instance, in Daniel, he talks about 70 weeks. The word weeks to us, we understand that. That's 7 days. But that's not what he's talking about here. These weeks are 7 years each. And so when you talk about 70 weeks, you're talking about 70 periods of 7 years each on that and dealing with that. And that helps us to get a little better grip of all that's going on. This is God's time clock or schedule for Israel and what would happen to Israel just prior to the return of Jesus at the second coming. Now keep in mind, you've got the rapture where Jesus comes as the thief in the night. And then you've got the second coming of Christ, where he comes back to this earth and we come back with him. If we didn't have the rapture at the beforehand, then we wouldn't be able to come back with him. But we're taken out, raised, and our bodies are changed, and we're able to come back. If you'll notice your chart on the page that I've given you, it kind of gives you a summary of and a little outline there concerning the 70 weeks that we'll be talking about in the events with Israel. But first of all, let's look at, we'll come to that chart in just a moment. Let's look at Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon my people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, that's a mouthful. That's a lot of things that's going to happen in these 70 weeks that God is dealing with Israel. Verse 24 and 25 gives us a little better understanding of some of these events and when they will happen and occur. For as he said in verse 25, know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. That's 69 weeks of the 70 weeks will be finished at that time. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome time. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with the flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And so if you'll notice your chart, from the command that was given by king to go back and allow the Jews to go back and restore Israel, until the coming of Christ, would be 69 weeks. That would be 483 years when you have each week as 7 years. At that time, Jesus would be crucified. When he came the first time, he was to finish transgressions, to make an end of sins, in which he would pay the price for our sins, in which we praise God for that, and what was that, and then to make reconciliation for iniquity. Jesus came to reconcile us to God. And praise God for that. We could not do anything to make us right with God. Only through the righteousness of Christ, only through his sacrifice is this done. And this was accomplished. And at that point, that completed 69 weeks of these 70 weeks, which is 483 years. At this point, God says time out for Israel as far as these 70 weeks are concerned. The 70th week will not follow immediately upon the 69th week. You'd have a period of time there that other events would go on, and you'll notice in your chart what is there. We have the church age, which we're in right now. And then you'll have the rapture. At this particular point is when Jesus comes back as the thief in the night, and we're taken out. The Jews are left here, And the rapture begins the 70th week. And that's what we call the tribulation period. That lasts for 7 years. At the end of that 70th week, which is the 7 years, then Jesus returns to this earth, the second coming. We come back with him, and we'll be looking at this in a little bit detail with the scriptures. At this point, he's to bring in everlasting righteousness to anoint the most holy. Then he will be recognized as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Israel will be the ruling nation of the world at that particular time at the end of the 70 weeks. So as we think about that, and you'll notice your outline that I've given you there concerning the fact that each week is 7 years, 6 to 9 weeks were completed when Jesus was crucified and so on. And number two, before the 70th week, Israel will be a nation again in the land of Israel. As we look at that pause, Israel was no longer a nation for centuries. But God assured us that they would be and be brought back. Notice in Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 21. Ezekiel 37, verse 21. The first part of Ezekiel 37, you have the prophecy of the Valley of the Dry Bones, which talks about the restoration of the coming gathering again of Israel, and Israel would be a nation again. And we've seen that. In verse 21 of Ezekiel chapter 37, and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all, and they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Now this covers a period of time. Anytime you have a prophecy that is made, and there are a number of events or things that said about that prophecy, then that is over a period of time. It doesn't all happen at the same time, in which we have that, of course, when this comes about, God, or before the 70th week, the last 7 years of Israel, before the second coming of Christ, Israel would be once again gathered into the land and be a nation. We are seeing that now. This has literally been fulfilled in our time, and the stage is set. And then the next event of this will be for following the 7 years, then Jesus will come back and be one king over Israel, and God will keep all that he told about them. Now, at the end of the 7 years of this 70th week of Daniel with Jews, Christ will return with us to reign for 1,000 years. That's found in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, dealing with 1,000 years. This is after the second coming of Christ. And it says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. That's a literal 1,000 years on this earth. That always excites me, and the more I study about that and realize what God has for us, not only salvation and of everlasting life, but we're going to come back and live on this earth in our resurrected body. Now, that's going to be an exciting time. And not for 5 years or 10 years or 50 years or 70 or 80 or 90, but for 1,000 years. We'll never get old, never get sick. We won't have arthritis around on us. We'll have people around us that's lost that will have the same problems we got now. But we are the redeemed. We are the resurrected one. And what a blessing and what a hope that we have concerning this. Now, the 70th week, these 7 years, the last week that God is talking about with Israel, which will be the last 7 years before the second coming of Christ, this is a time of Israel of a refiner's fire, where Israel will be refined and be purged. Look at Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 18. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 18. In Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 18, here the Bible tells us, son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead in the midst of the furnace. They're even the dross of silver. Now, here it's comparing Israel as to be all silver, pure silver, be the nation of God, the elect nation of God, to rule the world. And instead of being that pure silver, they are now dross and they are brass and tin. All of this is mixed in. This is talking about false teachings and false beliefs And this is true with Israel. Sadly to say, it's becoming true with this church. Isn't that? And God's going to bring judgment upon Israel for this. So in verse 19, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because you all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. As they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in my anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. Now, as we kind of look at the second coming and the rapture as Christians, man, we look at the glory side of that. I'm going to go home. I'm going to be with the Lord. I'm going to see Jesus. And then, especially the second coming, to live in our resurrected body in total victory. But from the Jewish viewpoint, this is not going to be a glorious time. During this 70th week, these 7 years prior to the return of Christ, that's between the rapture and the second coming, which will be 7 years, during that time, God judges Israel. So when we see what's going on in Israel and the conflict they're having, is nothing right now compared to what God's going to do during those 7 years. He's going to burn out all of that false teaching. Now, God is trying to deal with us today as he's dealt with Israel. He will tell them, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that, you need to be doing this, and you need to be doing that, and they won't pay any attention to him. And he's done that with us. We have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit, bring about that conviction and instructions as to what we're doing, and we have a tendency to want to ignore God and just turn up our nose at him. Well, I'll do what I want to do. You're not going to get by with that by any means. And Israel definitely is not getting by with that. God's bringing judgment upon them. Now, in this judgment that God allows to come up on this, he uses nations that are lost in bringing those judgments. For instance, the Arabic nations will turn on Israel. This has been prophesied from the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 16, verse 11, Genesis chapter 16 and verse 11, when Ishmael was born, Abraham was trying to help God, which is the wrong thing to do. God doesn't need our help. He just needs our obedience. Amen. He wants you to obey him. He'll do it all. You'll just let him do it and obey him. Well, Abraham thought he could help God, and Ishmael was born, which created a problem. Now, though Isaac was to be of the promise and to the blessings was to be through Isaac, yet God said, I will bless Ishmael. And so in verse 11 of Genesis chapter 16, the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shall bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. He shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. He will dwell in that area of Israel, and these are the Arabic people, in which they will be wild. They'll be against everybody. They're against one another and against anything else that's going on, and we've seen that. And especially as Israel once again was established as a nation in that part of the country, the goal of the Arab nations is to destroy Israel. Some of them kind of let up on a little bit. There's others who are holding to it. They're not going to bat an eye. They're on the mission and the goal of totally wiping out Israel. But I got news for you. Regardless of what they do, God's hand is upon Israel. And so we need to pray for Israel, but that they would come to that repentance. Now, God's going to take care of them. He's going to judge them. And one of that is with the Arabic nations. That's what you're seeing now. The conflict that is there, and that's going on with the Palestinians, and about the time they will simmer down, one of the other Arabic nations will rise up and do the same thing. But God is performing his miracle and protecting Israel. When you sit down and look at all that's happening, and of all of the number of missiles that's coming in, and hardly very little damage at all that is done, though they might want to brag on themselves of the iron dome that they might have, so to speak, and that, but it's God's hand in it. Equipment has no guarantee of holding up. It can fail on you quicker and you can blink your eye. When you think you've got a piece of equipment that is really solid and it'll go through, well, think again, because about that time it'll come apart Only by God's hand can that happen, and it's happening right now. And then, not only that, we find that Russia will invade Israel. That's in Ezekiel chapter 37 through 38. We're not going to look at that, but you need to read those two chapters. And Russia with her allies will come in and try to take over Israel. And that the purpose of that is not necessarily to destroy Israel, because they won't be. It is to destroy Russia. And so all but one-sixth of Russia will be destroyed in that conflict. You mean little Israel can do all of that? No, God does. So as you look at these things, be sure to see the hand of God. And that's our problem today. We try to look at it and see what man is doing, what the nation of Israel is doing, instead of seeing what God is doing. The same thing is true in our church. We try to look and see what we're doing and what our staff is doing and what our members are doing, when we need to see what God is doing. Okay, if God's not in it, it's not worth the time. Amen? And we're that we need to trust God, and we need to rely upon God and give God the glory and the praise and the honor that is there. And then in Revelation chapter 12, if you'll look at that, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 12, we find a scene that happens in heaven. This happens at the time of the rapture, in which there is a war that will be in heaven between the devil and Michael, the archangel. He is commanded to go and to cast the devil out, and he can't do it. He has a rough time with them. And so Michael, not Gabriel, Michael sounds the trumpet. The songs are talking about Gabriel sounding the trumpet. Gabriel doesn't do that. That's Michael's job. He's calling for an army to come and cast the devil out. Now, the devil's headquarters in the air. He can go before the throne of God. He could be on the earth, and he can go back and forth. When he's cast out to the earth, he will be limited to this earth, and his power will be limited in that, and he's mad. So look at that now in Revelation chapter 12, and beginning with verse 12. Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. As you study Revelation and where you see about the woman and all, that's talking about Israel, especially early part of this chapter. So the devil's going to be mad, and his attention is going to be toward Israel. Now, you've already got the judgment of God falling upon Israel, his wrath coming upon them because of their ungodliness, and now you've got the devil mad at them. You talk about being between a rock and a hard place. They're there. I mean, where do you go? God is judging you and spanking you, and then the devil's mad at you and trying to destroy you in that light. And so, really, this is a time of Jacob's trouble. If you'll notice that in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38, Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38, concerning the matter of what God is going to do to Israel. Now, Israel is a great nation under the power of God. God has blessed Israel. It is the land is produced and come out just as God said it would, but they're not the spiritual nation that God wants them to be. This 70th year, week, which is the 7 years, that will purge Israel. Now, you've got Jews in there that are not truly Jews. You read Romans, and it tells you you're not just a Jew because you was born a Jew. You're a Jew by belief, and not only by birth, but belief. You're not a Christian because you belong to a Baptist church or to any denomination or because you were baptized. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so God is going to purge out the rebels. Now, when God gets ready to purge out the rebels in our church, you better be sure where you are in that right there. And so we see this now in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 38. And I will purge out from among you the rebels and them that transgress against me. I will bring them forth out of the country where they sojourn, and they shall not enter the land of Israel, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. When God begins to do this during that 7 years, that 70th week, there's not going to be any question about God's hand in this. Today, God is moving in our midst. He's moving in Israel, but they're not recognizing God. We don't even hardly recognize him in our churches. We want to glorify one another when we need to come back to the place where we honor God and glorify him and realize it's God's work, not ours. and we need to be doing his work and be in obedience and give him the honor and the glory in it. This is also known as the time of Jacob's trouble. Look at Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7. In Jeremiah chapter 30 and verse 7, here God tells us, "Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but..." Oh, what an important but this is. "But he shall be saved out of it." Though it looks like Israel will be totally wiped out from the judgment of God, from the Satan and the Antichrist, from the Arabic nations, from Russia, it looks like they'd be totally wiped out. But no, God said, "I will keep them. They will be saved out of this." Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 21. Jesus put it this way in dealing with Israel and the judgment that would come upon Israel, and which he says in verse 21 of Matthew 24, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now that's quite a tribulation. You take all the events that happened from the beginning of the world to this time and put them all together and just bring them down to 7 years. That's what's going to happen during this trip. If you really want to know the details of it, you need to read Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 19. It gives you the exact details of everything that's going to happen during those 7 years. And brethren, it's a horrible, terrible time. He said there's never been anything like it before. But notice the next verse, verse 22. "And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake," that's the Jews, "for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Israel will be saved out of this. Look at Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. Romans chapter 11 and verse 25. In Romans chapter 11, verse 25, here again we're told about Israel and what's going to happen to them and the need of witnessing to them and bringing them to a saving knowledge of God. And so in verse 25 of Romans chapter 11, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." When the 70th week begins, the fullness of the Gentiles has been completed in that. We've been raptured, taken out. We're in our resurrected body. Then we're going to come back 7 years later with Christ. At that point, Israel is blind in part. In part means there's some Jews that will be saved, not the nation. They're not going to turn to Christ. They still believe the Messiah is coming and that Jesus is not the Messiah. But when the fullness of the Gentiles become him, in verse 26, "And so all Israel shall be saved." That's talking about as a nation. "Then the nation, as well as the individuals, will recognize that Jesus is the Messiah and he needs to be their Savior." This is at the second coming of Christ. "So all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall," not there already has, "there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." That's talking about the second coming of Jesus to this earth. Now, this 70th week, this last 7 years before the second coming of Christ, no one knows when that will start. No one knows that. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Matthew 24 and verse 36. No one will know of that day or that hour. In Matthew 24 and verse 36, "But of the day and the hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." And then it gives you some signs and events that would happen prior to that time. Now, normally, you'll hear this passage preached concerning the rapture. And that's true. No one knows when Jesus is coming back at the rapture and when he comes back as the thief in the night on that. And no one will know when the 70th week starts with Israel, because that all is the same thing. When the rapture happens, then that 70th week begins. No one knows of that day or hour. It could have started last week. It could start tonight. It could have started 10 years ago. It might be 10 years before it starts from now on that. No one knows of that. Only God knows that. But we will be raptured when it starts. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. We have the picture of the rapture in this. And where it talks about in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." When we look at that in detail, we've got some unusual things. The Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout. I thought that was announcing the coming of Jesus. There's going to be a shout, the king is coming. Well, he's not coming back as king then. That's at the second coming of Christ. See? I thought the trumpet with the voice of the archangel, the archangel old Michael is going to be shouting, "The Lord is coming, the Lord is coming." No, that's not what it's talking about at all. "And the trumpet shall sound with the trump of God," that and the matter of announcing and the coming of Jesus at that time. He comes back. Look in that next chapter, in chapter 5 and verse 1. "But of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." There's no announcement for the rapture. It happens quicker than you can blink your eye. Well, what's the shout? What's a trumpet that is mentioned here in that verse 16 of 1 Thessalonians 4? Michael is shouting and he needs help. And he sounds the trumpet to call for the special army, the only army that can cast Satan out. And we'll look at that in just, well, let's look at it now in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. Keep your finger there in Thessalonians. We're going to come back to it. But in Revelation chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 7. "There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels." This is going on at the time of just prior to the rapture. "And prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." Now, here we feel like that Michael has won the battle, but that's not the case. Read on further. Verse 10, "I heard a loud voice say in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him," this is that army, "they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." The rapture, as we see when Jesus comes back and at the sound of the trumpet to call for this army in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16, it says the dead in Christ shall rise first. So those who have gone on before us, they're going to receive their resurrected body. Verse 17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." He doesn't come in the clouds at the rapture. That's at the second coming. He comes in the air because that's where Satan's headquarters are. We are called and our loved ones come back with their resurrected bodies. They receive their resurrected body quicker than you can blink your eye. Our bodies change. We meet one another in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And you know the first order he gives us? Kick him out. We're the ones that kick Satan out. And he is mad. That begins that 7 years of tribulation. That begins that 70th week of Daniel, of those 7 years. And he's mad, and he goes after Israel and all of these other things that we've already mentioned during that time. And so now, we praise God. We look on our side of it. Yes, we're going to be taken out and not have to go through that on there, and praise God for that. But what about our loved ones? What about our friends? We need to know this, that we quit playing church and get down to business and see that others come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so we're taken out that we might return with Christ. Look at, you can read that in Revelation 11, 14, where he comes back on a white horse and his army comes back with him, dressed in the robe of the righteous and that of the bride, in which we come back with him at that time. And as I've already read, Jesus will come back as a thief in the night for that of the beginning of the 70th week of the first of the 7 years. He will come back where every eye will see him at the end of those 7 years. That's the second coming, and we'll come back with him on them. Well, what else will happen before the rapture, before the 70th week began? We've already seen that Israel would be a nation again. No question about that. I mean, that's solid. We've seen the land being developed. as God said it would prior to that. And that's happening right now and being done. But now, there's some other things that's going to happen just prior to the beginning of that 70th week or those last 7 years. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. Though I've read this 1,000 times, and yet I keep thinking, surely things can't get any worse than what they are now. And no sooner I say that, and boy, I see the news, and it's getting worse. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get better until after the second coming of Christ. It's going to get worse. Israel is going to go through tribulation such as it's never experienced in all of its history. This whole world's going to be going through that. That happens during that 70th week, that last 7 years before the second coming of Christ. Up to that and prior to that, things are going to get worse. Now, brethren, if you don't think things are not getting worse, you're just blind in many respects. As we look around and we think about, well, yeah, in other parts of the world, but here in America, yes, we've been blessed. But I've got news for you. Those days are going to be behind us. Because of our sin and our rebellion to God, things are getting worse. And God knew we would rebel and that our nation would rebel. And all of that, the judgment that's coming upon America. So that is happening right now. And then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the next major thing that's going to happen prior to the 70th week, these 7 years that's going to come before the second coming of Christ, we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1, Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together into him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And we're there. Our churches are getting further and further away from the Word of God. And this is exactly what God said would happen. It's not only getting worse as far as our nation is concerned, and not only our nation, but the nations of the world. The weather is getting worse. I mean, the weathermen they need psychiatrists. They're beside themselves in trying to predict all that's happening, and there's nothing they can do about it. It's getting worse. And then the falling away. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Here the Bible tells us very clearly, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. That is happening right now in our churches. Notice it said the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, says very clearly that in the latter times, prior to this last week, this 70th week in this 7 years, that some will depart from the faith. Doing what? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Going after the flesh. Doing things in the flesh, not by the power of God. Our churches have come to the place where they operate by the flesh, and not by the power of God, not by faith. That's happening right now. It doesn't have to happen in this church. And I praise God for the faith of you and others in this church that are following God and letting God work through you, that others might come to know Jesus before it's too late. Not only that, they'll speak lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. It doesn't bother them at all. They've become bitter to that which is right in the Word of God, and we'll do everything in that. So we're in that position right now. Well, what does all of this mean? What's happening in Israel now? We need to realize, hey, we're coming close to that time for the rapture to happen. Are you ready? Are your loved ones ready? Is our community ready? Is our state ready for Christ to come? Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Here the Bible tells us in Romans 13 and verse 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Here the Bible is very clear. We're to know the time, and we do know the time. It's time for that 70th week to start. It's time for the rapture to happen, and we need to wake out of sleep. Saying to us, we're asleep right now. And that seems to be true throughout our land on that, of Christians. We have enough Christians in America, people that claim to be Christians. If they would live the life that God has us to live, we would not be having the problems in our nation. There would not be approval of abortions and all the other stuff that's going on. There'd be no way anyone could go against them. But we are asleep. We ignore all that's going on about us. It's time to wake out of this, the Bible tells us, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. We need to live that separated life. We need to live that life in the power of God, in obedience to His word. We're to put off the works of darkness. That's talking about sin. We're to put on the armor of light. That's talking about what God wants us to do. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Oh, I pray to God we'd wake up. I thank God for you. You're waking up. You know these things and desire to see them. And we need to wake up others about us. I shared with you before, but let me share it with you again. I never will forget that moment. As I stood in Israel at the Western Wall, my guide that I had was a Jewish guide. And he wasn't a Christian. He believed that Jesus was the Messiah, but he didn't need a Savior. That's for the Gentiles, he would say to me. And he would always, when he wanted something for me to understand he was saying, he would speak very slowly and he'd lean over and squint his eyes and talk so that I could understand him through his accent that was there. When we was at the Western Wall, he leaned over and he was very serious about what he wanted to say. And I knew that. And so I tuned right into him to hear what he had to tell me at that point. He said, have you noticed in traveling through the streets of Israel, how that we've picked up the rocks and put them in the row. We've whitewashed the buildings. Have you noticed how we're cleaning things up and everything is becoming beautiful? He said, you know why we're doing that? I wanted to answer him, but I wanted him to tell me. He said, we know something's about to happen from God. Think about that. He said, we know something is about to happen from God. Here is this spiritually blind Jew that could sense something is going on with God. Doesn't quite understand it. I fell to my knees with tears in my eyes. I began to pray. And I prayed, oh God, if this blind, spiritually blind Jew can sense something is going on, the bride of Jesus ought to sense it more. Amen. If anybody ought to sense that something is about to happen and can know what will happen, it ought to be God's bride, the bride of Jesus, the church. And I prayed. I said, God, let me go back and wake up your church. And that's what I've been doing all these years. And rightly so. We need to wake up. Are you awake? Or are you just playing church? You've been challenged that this morning. Challenged at every service here. We're challenged to do what God would have us to do. As we look at the news and see what's happening with Israel, more and more, it ought to jar us to our very foundation and get us to wake up and say, we got to quit playing around and mean business with God. And whether anybody else works with us doesn't make any difference. We need to be right with God. God's spoken to your heart. There's some things that He's been telling you to do, and you've been kind of digging in your heels. Oh, that's not all that important. No, everything. Be obedient to God and let Him use you in a way that will change not only this church and make it even more so than what it is, but also to change our community and our nation. Revival can begin with